Good evening. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Volume all right? Well, thank you very much, Ray, for that presentation, for your generous words. And especially thank you for giving me the opportunity to participate in the World Agricultural Conference. For a Colombian flower farmer like me, it is a real honor and a privilege and a great challenge to address such a distinguished audience. I'm not really a representative of Colombia. Unfortunately, some of the people who had been invited to participate could not come, and they were really important people. our president was, Uribe was invited, and two of the ministers, but unfortunately, because now they're in the process of negotiating FTA, both in the United States, a free trade agreement, both in the United States and in our Congress, they have to stay home. The title of my presentation has some very high-powered words. That's not my title. That's, I think, Ray's.
That's mine.
Big terms. Success, vision, collaboration, human will. Maybe there's something behind that. But I would like to complement it with a more descriptive title or subtitle. It's a successful export agribusiness with social and environmental responsibility and under very difficult and changing and competitive conditions. And I want to bring this up because Colombia is a difficult place, as you all know. Colombia, unfortunately, is not well known for its good things. Flowers, coffee, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, emeralds, singers. It's more well known by its bad things. Cocaine, violence, kidnapping, etc. That, however, has changed. But the image of Colombia is there. We are good at doing good things, but we're unfortunately also good at doing bad things. But it's a minority that does those bad things. As usually happens in other places, only a few thousand of the guerrilla and the terrorists and the drug traders are holding hostage or have been holding hostage over 40 million Colombians. Of course, that is changing, unfortunately. Over the past 6 years, we've had good governance, good government, and things are changing. So that for the introduction. Now, my challenge today is to show that floriculture contributes to rural peace and prosperity in Colombia, and that several of its experiences can be adaptable to other agricultural products. And I might add another third challenge, and that is to keep you folks awake. It's been a long day, a very interesting day, thought-provoking. I had prepared a presentation, mistakenly, for 40 minutes. That would be bad news. I'll cut it short. I'll have to dash through some of the slides, but some of the information will be there, available on the website. I understand that this will be printed, so I'll have to run through. Some of them are self-explanatory, others perhaps I'll have to explain a little bit. So I'll try to cover very rapidly world trade in flowers and in Colombia, the flower industry, its organization, and some of the applicable experiences. Value of ornamental trade, total, that's trade, not production, about 9 billion, of which about half are flowers. And flowers are very important in proportion because you trade cut flowers, you don't trade plants or pots. So that's why in trade, flowers are very important. Overall, flower industry in the world is something like 50 billion. In the States, it's about 20, but that's also including other ornamentals such as bedding plants, pot plants, etc. Some characteristics of the industry, production and marketing. Let's start with production. It's very dynamic. We're dealing with a very highly perishable product. It requires expensive infrastructure. The plants are very expensive. The greenhouses are expensive. And it requires perfection. Standards are perfection. Why? Because flowers, as a beauty item, cannot have any blemishes, any imperfections. You can, perhaps one can eat an apple or an orange or a banana with a small speck, but flowers have to be perfect. That means that in the production process, you have to take care of the details. That also means that in flowers, not always, as in other products, bigger is not better. Flower marketing has special characteristics in that it's very cyclical in demand. It's driven by holidays. It's changing with colors and varieties. You need to sell red roses for Valentine's and pink roses for Mother's Day, then white and red for Christmas. So you have to adjust the marketing and production to those changes. It's very supply price elastic. A small increase in supply will cause a proportionally great fall in the price. And on conversely, it's demand inelastic, price inelastic. If you lower the price, it doesn't mean that you're going to sell more flowers. So it has those restrictions. World trade is very concentrated of cut flowers. As you see here, 83% is exported by four countries. They're presented there in order of importance. Holland, number one, Colombia, number two, Ecuador, Kenya. And then 73% is imported by another five countries. What's happening to world flower exports? Volume is increasing very fast. Value, not so much. As you see in that graph, it's now 30% growth in volume, only 8% in value. It means that we're selling, we're exporting more for less. So the world trend in flower trade is that supply is increasing faster than demand, consumption is low, and it's stagnant, so therefore prices are decreasing. In the United States, unit volume has gone up by 24%, while dollar value increased only 3% during the last five or so years. So world trends and U.S. trends in terms of supply and demand are alike. Cut flower consumption in the U.S. is very low compared to other countries, 26 euros per capita per year, against the Europeans that are almost twice as much, some three times as much. So that shows the restrictions in the market. Now, Colombian floriculture. Here we see a picture, a typical picture of how the savanna of Bogota looks like. And it's a picture where it has half-truth and half-not-truth. It's misleading. Here you see and get the sensation that all of the savanna of Bogota is going to end up covered by plastics. Now, the savanna of Bogota, where most of the flowers are located, is 200,000 hectares of flat land and another 200,000 of hills. Flowers are only in the savanna of Bogota 6,000 hectares. So that's a very, very small proportion. So those that say that plastics are going to end up with all of the landscaping, and that we are going to drive food out of the savanna is not correct because of those proportions. I like to quote here a former mayor of Bogota, that when he was being asked, well, what are we going to do with flowers? Are we going to cover up all the savanna? He said, yes, maybe they're not pretty, but when I see them, I like them because they do so much. What are the geographic factors affecting flower production? Colombia, as you see in the map, very close to the United States, only 3 hours flight. That means a dollar a kilogram. All the flowers are irrigated. We are 4 degrees north, so it means that we have even temperatures and even day lengths, and that's ideal for flower production. We have all climates. They are regulated by altitude. And we have a population, 42 million, 30% rural, 12% unemployment, and around Bogota, and in Bogota, 7 million Colombians, so that means that we have plenty of labor. Now, how did all this get started? It wasn't planned, it wasn't promoted by government, it was jump-started by a research thesis at the University of Colorado in the mid-60s. And that established that the savanna of Bogota had the ideal climate conditions and geographical conditions to produce carnations, which were being produced in Colorado. Because of what I said, even temperature, even day length, nearness to the U.S., so forth. That study happened to fall on the hands of a couple of Colombian farmers and an American and say, well, if all this is true, why don't we bring this gringo down to Colombia and have him show us that this is true. He was specializing in carnation propagation and cultivation. And that they did. And he's still in Colombia, 30-some years after that. And so it was a matter of, you know, as I call it, historic serendipity combined to entrepreneurial adventure, vision, as Ray calls it, and will. Conditions, a lot of vitamin C, creative. We started with trial and error. There was no real research behind it. It was adapting what was being done in Colorado in carnations. Then it was adapted to creatively to cultivate roses, also adapting technology from Europe, from Holland, from Israel. And it was done by a group of independent producers competing among ourselves and also competing with growers in the United States and in Europe. That made us very competitive, very aggressive, and I think it was also thanks to that that we were able to penetrate, as you will see later on, the markets in the United States and in Europe. There was really minimum government help or intervention. It's been very cooperative in areas of common interest, because we do compete with each other, but in things of common interest, to promote the industry, to do things that affect us all, we join hands. That's why we have our association. And so, therefore, also, we've had continuous improvement through comparison and benchmarking. Flower production, or the industry characteristics in Colombia, it's all export-oriented. 98% of sales are for export. It's clustered, most of it 80% around Bogotá, the rest in the Medellín area. There's a great farm size variation from 5 to 50 hectares, more or less. Very high labor intensive. 15, 25, an average of near 20 persons per hectare. At lunchtime, we were discussing this and making some comparisons with Ted Medlin, a very important field crops grower here of Missouri. And I hadn't realized that this labor intensiveness was so great compared to field crops. And we came to the conclusion that if 20 persons are required per hectare, and one person can handle an average of 300 to 400 hectares of rice or corn mechanized, it means that there's a proportion, an equivalent of 1 to 6,000. In other words, one hectare of roses would be, or carnations, flowers, would be equivalent in terms of labor use of what is done in about 6 to 8,000 hectares of field crops. So it's amazing, as you see, the labor requirement. In Colombia, we have a great growth potential. As I said, we have plenty of land, water, labor. What limits is the market, because the market is oversupplied. We do have a strong association to address all these things of common interest, as I pointed out before. Now, a snapshot in figures. We are number one exporter of flowers into the United States, number two worldwide after Holland. It's become number two agricultural export after coffee. Coffee had been traditionally number one. It still is number one. But now we're catching up. We're exporting last year, nearly a billion, $970 million at the farm level. Coffee exports are something like 1.3 billion. So we're not too far behind. And that's over a total of about 8,000 hectares. That's about 20,000 acres, most of it in greenhouses. And it generates a total of 200,000 employees, direct and indirect. Direct would be a little over 100, and indirect almost as much. That means 1 million Colombians depend on flowers. And as I said, all around two of the major cities. So that has very important implications in terms of social development and in terms of security for Colombia. It's also developed, the industry, what I call the U.S.-Colombian flower connection. because as it benefits Colombia, it also benefits the U.S. in terms of those seven. We export 80% to the United States, so that means around 770 million that we receive in Colombia becomes a multiplier of about 10, almost 10 billion that circulates in the United States. The flower business in the United States generated by Colombian flowers is more or less 100 importers, mostly in the Miami area and Florida area, about 1,000 wholesalers, nearly 53,000 retailers, of which 25 are florists and 28,000 mass marketers. This all means that more Americans are employed by Colombian flowers than Colombians. In the United States, we estimate that it's 250,000 Americans that depend on Colombian floriculture. The farm breakdown is 800 farms, 8,000 hectares, and the breakdown is about 40 of the 300 companies are big, and big means over 50 hectares. They would represent about 50% of the exports. Then we have about 60 medium-sized, which would have about 20 hectares, and they export 25%. And then the small ones, 200, exporting the other 25. But we must realize that when we speak of small in flowers, with a high investment of nearly $300,000 per hectare, a small farm, under our context of, say, 10 hectares, would be investing something like $3 million. Dollars. So it's very different from the traditional or conventional field crops, where investments and requirements are at another scale. This is the 36-year history of continuous growth in exports in terms of millions of dollars and or tons. It's as you see from the graph, there's been growth all the time, with some years of slackening due to external or internal economic conditions, but the general trend has been growth. Exports from Colombia, or importers of Colombian flowers, 84% North America, of which 80% is the United States, and then Europe, 9-10% more or less, and other countries around 7. The major flower types, as I pointed out at the beginning, we started with carnations, and then we've diversified over the years. And now, as you see, we have quite a mix, but still carnations are important. The spray and the standards are about 20-some percent, and 32% roses, and the rest would be a mix of different flowers, especially for bouquets, which you now see very much in the supermarkets. So we cultivate something like 50 different flower types, and each of which has many varieties, so we're in the hundreds and countable number of varieties that are being grown and exported. The market share is very high. The market share in the United States, it's unusually high for a developing country exporting a product into the world's largest market. 60% of the flowers imported by the United States come from Colombia, and in certain flower types like Alstomeria, carnations, chrysanthemums, we're in the 80s, 90%. So 9 out of 10 flowers, carnations or Alstomeria or chrysanthemums that you find in the U.S. market come from Colombia. Our industry organization, Azogro Flores, we have 215 members. We all contribute. This is totally private and voluntary. We contribute on the basis of our exports, and we represent 75% of the flowers exported. And its objective, basically, to develop local and international advocacy in areas where private companies cannot act individually, independently. We also work on developing world markets, although we do not, as a professor, does not export or sell. Every grower does it on its own, with its own brands and marketing channels and systems. And Azogro Flores is very active in implementing environmental and social programs. I'll just mention rapidly two of them. Our Flor Verde, which is the Green Flower Environmental and Social Development Program. It's more than a green flower label. It's really a 10-year experience of high environmental and social responsible flower production standards that we've developed, plus a component of community building. And it has been adapted to other industries, starting with the banana growers, and it's available to other sectors in Colombia and elsewhere. Practices that are monitored by this program of Flor Verde are labor management, social development, all pesticide and chemical applications, the use and disposal of water, landscaping, and waste and disposal management. We do benchmarking in all of these items. There's 167 companies that are participating in the program, and on all of these items, this is just to show an example of how we benchmark anonymously. Each one knows where he stands. We know the averages. We don't know our neighbor how he's doing. And in this case, it's we're monitoring here the use of pesticides per hectare per year. It's been going down over the past 10 years. We used to have averages of 150 or so kilograms per hectare per year. Now the average is 50. And as you see in that graph, we have farms that go from 5.9 to over 100. And that varies because of technologies, because of types of flowers grown. But anyhow, the trend has been to lower the use. Flor Verde companies represent about 50,000 workers and about 3,000 hectares. Then we also have social development programs, which are listed there. I'll only concentrate on two of them, which are very interesting and adaptable to other industries, and which one of them is called Cultivating Peace in the Family, which trains workers, families, and communities in rational conflict management. And that is especially important for Colombia. As I pointed out at the beginning, we are victims of violence, and so Colombians tend to be aggressive and violent. And so this is a program that addresses that problem. And we've shown that then private enterprise, private industry, can and should contribute to peace-seeking efforts of Colombia by training people in managing conflict in a peaceful, nonviolent way. And we've shown that it reduces home and workplace conflict. It improves also labor productivity. It wasn't established with that purpose, but that's a byproduct. And it's now benefiting 50,000 families. And again, this is a program that could be easily applied, and it's in the process of being applied by other industries. The African oil palm plantations are starting to look into it, and also the sugarcane industry. And basically, it's also combined with another program called School of Floriculture, which trains a population that has been displaced by violence, train them in intensive horticulture, and training them in all the processes of cultivating, harvesting, etc. It's a full year's course, and we've already trained about 2,500 people. And so this is another effort of private enterprise in Colombia's peace-seeking efforts. Then I'd also like to go through very rapidly on some specific practices that we've developed in Colombian floriculture that could also be applied by other industries in the technical areas and in marketing. First is the concept of precision farming, not the way that is used in mechanized agriculture, but in the sense that in flowers, it's so intensive that you think in terms of meter square instead of per hectare. As I pointed out, 20 or so workers per hectare instead of one working with 300 hectares or so. Daily production and sales, we speak of stems per plant per week versus tons per crop per season or per year. And it's a very high risk. In flowers, you put in many times the value of land in structures that are not easily recovered. So it's a high-risk investment. But this experience, I think, is applicable. And in Colombia, we're starting to use it in other crops, fruit crops, vegetables, aromatic herbs, medicinals. And why not? Perhaps there might be some bioenergy products that could also use some of this technology to produce fuel. That would be a possibility in the future. Floriculture also contributed in Colombia to bringing in agrotechnology. For instance, drip irrigation was initiated some 20 years ago or so by the flower business. Soil management, hydroponics using rice hulls, things again that could be used for other horticulture in post-harvest technology, which being flowers perishable, we have to monitor degree days and model modeling for crop forecasting, all the grading, bunching, and packing, and the pre-cooling. In other words, the cold chain management, which is used for these perishables, would also be used could also be used for other products. We've developed very interesting quarantine pest prevention and control programs. That is in combination between the association and the government, especially with one fungus disease and one insect, and that is also a case of government and private joint programs that have been successful in integrated pest management. We've adopted practices that we can say that are adapted or made in Colombia for insect trapping, biological control, use of biorationals that are also being extended to horticulture in Colombia. And now in marketing, as I was saying, it's very dynamic, very complex. We speak in terms of stems per week instead of tons per crop, sales, with standing orders, channels, exporting directly growers to wholesalers and to florists and supermarkets. There's a lot of customizing. We have many different box sizes with different contents and grades, branding, sales by variety. So again, that differs from other crops such as, you know, field crops or coffee or bananas. It's one variety, one product. Here we have such a great variation. So one of the conclusions or lessons that we've had from floriculture is that we can develop a sustainable production with social and environmental responsibility, and that it contributes to Colombia's peace and prosperity. And the good thing about this whole thing is that it's proven to be also good business. So that's it, and more information available on these sites. Thank you.